Let us just pray. Heavenly Father, we're so happy tonight to be here in your presence, to be one with you, Lord. The world might see it, nobody sees it, but we know it because we're a part of that revelation, have the witness within ourselves, and know that God is true. We're grateful for it, Lord. You proved your sincerity, your truthfulness, your continued faithfulness to us, Lord, and there is no doubt left in our minds. We're sure that there's no place else to go. We're comfortable in your presence, Lord, that we have this light and this life, and we know that you alone have the words of eternal life, and you've given them to us, and we are happy about that, Lord. We just rest in it, and if there was such a thing as sanctifying ourselves and dedicating ourselves further, consecrating further to it, we certainly appreciate it that you might help us and show us how it might be done, because we know that if we're one with that word, then everything is possible. There's nothing that we left out that really is gratifying and special to our souls, for to this end were we created. And we know that we, like all creation, are from you and to you and for you. And that makes us very, very happy, Lord, very appreciative. We're very glad. Bless us in the service tonight, whatever is said and done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, just before we get into the message, next Sunday, of course, the weather report is good. And I don't go too much by weather report, but the weather report's good. So I think we'll have foot washing communion next Sunday, just in case the weather starts to get bad at any time. The Toledo folk can come by that way, and you can just tell the folk that we'll have foot washing communion. And what you could do is just bring some sandwiches. I think we'll supply the coffee. Bring your own pop. I'm not going to supply pop. I've been pop to 3 kids and granddaughter and 2 great grandkids. Get your own pop. And so you do that, tell everybody, and right afterward, we'll have the foot wash communion. Next member Sunday, you roll your clock back, right? Get up as usual, of course. Don't be lazy, because you spoil you for next week. And that'll be fine. And also, we'll have a little tiny business meeting. Maybe we can, I can sort of get with Rusty and give you some figures on some things and just illuminate you and just see where we're at and where we're going. And that'll be helpful, I think. It's about time. We've been here doing business long enough, and I don't want anyone to think we're just running ahead and doing things without you. Look, let's face it. Sometimes you just got to do things. Sometimes people are happy that you do them. Sometimes they're not happy. Well, fiddle-dee-dee. We're just kind of like the old boy, you know, he got in the ring and he got knocked down. There was his 39th fight, and he'd been knocked out 38 times. And the newspaper editor just said, he said, man, he said, how do you cover that guy? He said, well, you can't win them all. just roll with the punches. You know, let's be happy and joyful in the Lord. The Lord will take care of us and have a good faith toward business, a good faith toward everything. And the Lord will work things out just right. After all, we're very, very fortunate people if we only knew it. The ends of the world have come upon us. And remember, when the ends come upon us, and he just recreates and does a better thing. Just like these last church ages, you know, coming up under Luther, how much better than Catholicism? Then coming out of Luther came Wesley, how much better than Luther? Then coming up in Pentecost, well, that was a picnic and a flyaway compared to the rest. And now come to the Word. And now the Word is everything, because all things were made by the Word and all things are maintained by the Word. So if you really get something from the Word, and you become identified with that Word, well, listen. What is going to compare with it? Nothing will compare with it. Now, before we get into the message, you know, I do a lot of rambling on purpose. That's the cover-up. And, you know, I'm just teasing you. It's just to sort of talk about things that we're getting into, and frankly, I do not know what we're getting into. I'll be honest with you. See, I'm not a prophet. I don't say I wish I were. In fact, I'm glad I'm not. That's just that simple. On the other hand, it's a little embarrassing that I'm not a prophet. Because when I teach, I cannot teach with the definitive authority of a prophet. See, I just can't do it. I know what the prophet said, and I've got to watch what he said and do what he did, which is take it right back to the Word. So that I don't just have a thematic structure or a doctrine, but I have the doctrine through the Bible. See? And many times I look at things, or things come to me, and as I've told you, you've got to bear with me because, look, I won't lead you astray, but I'll sort of get you off on the side of the road a little bit. Now, you won't get off the road, but you get off the side of the road. And I can't help that. Because the method I use, as I've explained, is I see something, and I got to start talking about it. And as I start teaching on it, I'll find that maybe I go a little bit too much to the right. Maybe my time zone isn't quite right. Maybe my connections aren't quite right. Well, the next time you see, I got to kind of veer back again. And I'm not drunk driving and not sleep driving. I'm driving consciously, but this is bigger than I am. See, so look, I've got problems, and I don't want to give you problems, but I want to keep warning you that what you got to do is to follow the best you can, and as time goes on, he's never failed me, but let me come right back in the middle of the road with my straight course. Now, this has to do with what I was saying last Sunday. When he began talking to me, and he said, these are deep impressions that come like a voice. It's the, as I want to tell you, when John turned to hear the voice, see the voice, in the Greek it is conversational. In other words, like Moses talking to God, God talking to Moses. Paul talking to God, first God talked to Paul, Paul talked to God. William Branham was in the same category. God talked to William Branham talked to God. Right? That's exactly what it was. Now, this is not what John had, except in the extreme limited. The conversational voice, as I see it, is this. It's the same thing we have here in this room. Now, this may sort of floor you, but it's all right if you're floored. There's a carpet on the floor. So nobody's going to get you bad hurt. When I talk to you people on Sundays and Wednesdays, and we begin moving into a certain area, it is just like I am talking to you and you are talking back to me. One reason is the geography, the way the seats are, the way the buildings are in. Number two is the atmosphere. One of trust, and you want to hear what I'm saying, and you believe what I'm saying. And you know, I'm not trying to fool. If anything happened a little wrong, you'd know I wasn't trying to fool anybody. There's the Spirit is in unity between us. Now, the next thing is, it is like you talking back to me, and I'm answering your questions. So we have a good rapport. It's like it was months ago when we surmounted certain obstacles and unqualifiedly tried to do the will of God in teaching His Word. And the same thing is now present with us, with the possibility of a far deeper revelation. All right. Now, therefore, I don't expect at any time for you and me to have problems in communication so that what is being taught, you understand. Now, going back now to Sunday, when I mentioned to you that there came to me through the deepest impression the premise that the doctrine of the incarnation as to why He came, when He did, announcing what He would do and what He did do. Literally, because of the emphasis on the death, which boils down to by the shedding of blood is the remission of sin. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And that is the key. But look, this Bible, of which the key is the blood that makes possible everything within it, and nothing within it is apart from that shedding of blood. Now, the question is, what is there in that? Is everything in there that is open to us because of the blood? Does it become axiomatic? The answer is no. Christ died upon Calvary, remitting our sins. And there might have been at that time 6 million Jews. How many were born again? How many got God? Well, I don't suppose 50,000. About a million. Today there's going on to 4 billion people in the world today. The blood has never lost its power. It's not axiomatic that just because the blood was shed, you're going to be born again. You're going to be saved. Your sins are remitted. No. See, that's what we're looking at. That's what he impressed me. And the impression was, now hold it. When he was here on earth, and before he went back to heaven, there are things that are basic to the blood, but the blood doesn't accomplish it. Now, you still with me? Not anybody got a question? No question. That's your truth. What I'm telling you, you listen to me. And I'm telling you the truth. Okay. Now, Brother Branham said, the shedding of the blood of bulls and goats was animal life. The life could not come back upon the believer. But when Jesus died, the life could come back upon the believer. Well, okay, shed blood, zoom, comes the life. No? Now, you agree that Jesus shed his blood. You agree that the life was loosed. Now, I ask you a question. Did that get the Old Testament bride out of the ground? No, sir. Did the life come back upon those Old Testament saints down there in Sheol, Upper Sheol? No way. The life that Christ shed never came back until after he was ascended and he took them up. Now, you see what I'm driving at. If Alpha is Omega, and Omega is Alpha, and there are two parts to the first resurrection, and there are, then we are unworthy of being called students of the Scripture until we know everything he did as Alpha, knowing he will do it as Omega. You follow me? It took him to go into Hades, into the lower Sheol where the lost were and could not be loosed. See? And he couldn't do that in the physical. That was in the grave, right? All right. Then he went into upper Sheol, and he led captivity captive. Now, Brother Branham preaches a great sermon on that. How that the devil and the guardians were there. And when he went in and ripped the gates off and stood there in all his might, they said, who are you? And I hope you aren't what we think you are. He said, I'm the one. Now, he led them out in the form of spirit. That's Alpha. Then he'll do it as Omega. That's why he's here. That's why Brother Branham said, God, Jesus Christ, Holy Ghost, comes down, sets himself at the head of the church. That same one of the Spirit went down there and set himself right at the head of that Old Testament church. And he said, I'm the one you look for. He said, I'm the Prince of the House of David. I am that Messiah. I am that seed of the woman. I am that conqueror. and he was not in a physical body. He went down there as a human being who was pre-existent, who had a theophonic body. We're getting really lost now and tough. Came down here in the womb of a woman, slipped out of his body of death, took on that same form, went down there, and just reached and ripped the gates off. So I'm here. The time of the shout of his death screamed through the corridors. And woke the sleeping in Upper and Lower Sheol. And they knew something was happening. The shout of this message is screamed to wake up a bride that the Holy Spirit's here to do something. Okay? Now, let's go to Luke, 4th chapter. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to proclaim the gospel to the poor. That's preaching. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That could be preaching combined with the deliverance. To preach deliverance to the captives. The recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Alright. What's the bruise? He shall bruise your heel and you will bruise his head. I am come here to bring the dead out of the ground. Now the blood didn't do it. He had to come and do it. You follow me? See, you're too fundamental yet. I can tell by looking in some of your eyes. You're still back in the Never Never Land. Now get out of it. Get out of it. Get out of it. Or you're going to find yourself not believing in His presence. Something's going to come up and you're going to die. I'm going to tell you right now, the blood didn't do it. It opened the door so He could do it. The blood does not fill you with the Holy Ghost or guarantee the Holy Ghost. It opens the door so that you can receive the Holy Ghost. And if you're under the blood, you will receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, you got a couple amens. The rest, you're done a little bit. I know you don't say too amen too much because you know you'd bother me if you did. But I appreciate the amens. Let me show it to you. I can find it. All right. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he perfected every them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. Now that's not just the Holy Ghost coming at Pentecost. Paul wasn't there to see it. And the people he wrote this book to weren't at Pentecost, and they didn't see it. He's telling them, if the blood is applied and efficacious, you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And that's the witness that you're under the blood. So you see, you can be here tonight, and your mind is fogged concerning the reality of the revealed word. And now listen, Brother Branham categorically said, concerning even the names and the titles of God, you've got to say the right thing. See, I'm telling you the truth. People get all mixed up because Hattie Wright said, Brother Branham, that's exactly the truth. She said the right thing. He said one day to Brother Fred Barker, and I understand that Brother Branham said this to more than one person, so I will take it as the truth. He said, one day you'll say the right thing, you'll be healed. Now, that kind of talk, without being balanced, from what Brother Branham said concerning the Scripture, will make you a bunch of Pentecostal seekers. Out with a dirty blow, but you need it. Not because they hate you, because they love you. I know what I'm talking about. It's when you give back to God under the right conditions, the true revelation that He gave, something's going to happen to you. Because that's the only way that you become the Word of God, is by receiving the Word of God in your flesh, and your atoms begin to build around it. And when your atoms build around the Word of life, they don't build around the Word of a man, because it's not by sex or anything you've got that allows this life to build around you, making you immortal. And the blood doesn't do it. And the baptism with the Holy Ghost doesn't do it. Though you've got to have both of them. There is a time and the place that God's got to do it. Now, man lives by eating. Jesus said, "He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall never die." But He qualified it by saying, "He that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall live." And then He said, "Whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never perish." And that's the qualification of what you're eating at what time. Now, every age ate of a bread that could pass away. This bread cannot pass away. Heaven or earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But it also says, till every word be fulfilled. The fulfilling of this word at this hour is humanity passing away. One into immortality, one into death, destruction, and final annihilation. Now, you see why He talked to me. And He said, there's a misunderstanding about how He came, what He came for. Everybody is saying, well, He came to die upon the cross. He did, but that's not all of it. That's the basis of how He can now do what He intended to do at all times. See? Now, all over those years of the prophets, that word began coming, the people began coming in diverse ways in many parts, until you come right to the Son. The law was until John, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and there He stood just like that and said, "Change over time." Now, if He had not stood there with the messenger pointing Him out, it would not have been changeover time. Now, Israel wanted to change over time to nationhood, Messiah and rule authority. And He said, if you had listened to that prophet, you'd have got it. Now, they couldn't listen to the prophet, because the bride wasn't in. But had they listened, it would have happened. It's one of those strange things, like the Word of God said, "I'm going to blot everybody out unless I send Elijah." Well, sure He's going to send Elijah. So everybody that doesn't see Elijah gets blotted out. That's simple. Beautiful. Hell, I'll write the book as you preach it. I love the way God does things. Why shouldn't I? He's nice to me. All right. Now, He comes in the flesh to Israel. Israel turns Him down. The blood is shed. It was necessary to take a life, not only to atone for sin, but a life to get them out. Yep. Exactly. That's exactly right. Now, Scripture said that God raised Him. God got that body, that the spirit and soul come back in it. Those dead suddenly appeared upon earth, and they appeared only in their theophonic form, but of course, suddenly, material began coming around them. And there they were. And there was a complete division for a resurrection that had a shout and a voice and a trumpet. Yep. Now, let's go to Psalm 25. Oh, I might let you go home real early, just talk a bit and let you go home. I don't feel like preaching anyway. They call this preaching, I don't know, I should call it talking. Psalm 24. Okay. Let's read verse 6. This is a generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Now they were seeking his face. They looked for a city which hath foundation, builders, maker, and God. Ever since the third chapter of Genesis, they looked for the seed of the woman, and they were looking. And notice, this is the generation of them that seek him. One generation is all it was. Spread over a period of time. Spread over quite a period of time. All right? They're the ones. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift them up. The everlasting doors, the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is King of glory. Now every theologian and Brother Branham confirms it, that that is the resurrection when he took up the mighty ones with him. He is the great leader, took all the Old Testament bride up there with him. Now just where they are in glorified members, I don't know, and I'm not interested. Because, see, I'm not nosy. Now, if I just wanted to poke my nose in everybody's business and everything, I'd be asking these questions. This doesn't pertain to me, so who cares? What does pertain to me is this. As the prophet said, all the time looking back, all the time looking forward, never knowing what's going on. Well, we better know what's going on. And you can tell it from Alpha. Since Omega is here, it's exactly as Brother Branham said. He sets himself at the head of the church. What's that? What is this church? She's a mighty army with banners. Fair as the moon and as clear as the sun, as terrible as an army with banners. What does an army have? The captain of the host. So the captain of the host is here with a military command. What's that military command? I've arrived. I'm the Star of David. I am the mighty God. I am the everlasting Father. I am the Prince of Peace. I am the great I am. I am that one that the church has talked about. I'm here. I want to lead you. I want to be your head. They said, so. You wonder why I preach the presence and I get very indignant because I hear all this other hogwash? Let me tell you something. There's a just God. And he will back nothing but his word. And if you don't say the right thing, you're finished. Norm knows a bit about the Army, guess more than anybody here, because he's in the Marines. And I guess, well, Brother Evans, the paratroopers, two fellas right here that really know what Army life is all about. The rest of us just guess at it, in comparison. I think Norm saw active combat, didn't you? You didn't? You're pretty close to it. Well, you're close enough to get it and make gun shy. You're about the same boat. Well, I never was in active combat. I was about 4F, so that took care of me. Flat foot or anything else. All right, look, you know as well as I do. The commanding officer gives the command, you had better understand the language, or you had it.
That's right.
That's what it's all about. The restoration. The revelation. Now, this is that mighty one. Now, he came down in that period of his flesh, and he had these various things to do. One of which was, he was to proclaim, he was to be prophet, he was to preach. He was to teach. He was to bring forth doctrine. In that all, he could only do it Because he would fulfill Scripture. See? Now, Paul categorically said, this was that rock, and this was that cloud. That pillar of fire answered back and said, I am Jesus. The same pillar of fire. They said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, I am the Lord God of Isaac, I am the Lord God of Jacob, I am the God of your fathers. By my name, Jehovah, was I not known? And you know I showed you that last Sunday, that was wrong. In this sense. Over back there in Genesis, he revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh when he provided the land. When he made the provision. Now listen, he made a provision as a lamb. Now watch carefully. But Abraham, now listen, never looked at the fact that the boy was a lamb. He looked at him as one received from the dead. Jehovah Jireh was the theme of Brother Branham's great messages. I am he which was alive, was dead, and alive forevermore. See? That very one that provided the lamb is the very one that set the type, not death, resurrection. You follow me? Elohim is here. Jehovah Jireh is here for the resurrection. Follow me? It's not a dead son. It's a live son. Same one. Now, he came therefore under the fact of not a shedder of blood only, but of the one that God provided, the son from the dead. You follow me? Now listen, he's Omega. Then he's got to do the same today. Now listen, that boy did not die. It was a figure. So you're going into type. And the type was not death, but resurrection, and one received back. All right? You got the same thing right today. This group here, let me assure you, we are going to stand here, and I am going to stand here by the grace of God and receive back my dead. Of which number one is William Branham. We will receive back every son of God. This church will. This people. We'll stand here and receive everyone back out of the ground. And we'll see William Branham. We'll see Wesley. He's going to be nice knowing. Yep. We're going to see Luther. We're going to see Martin. We're going to see Columba. Going to see Uranus. Going to see Paul. Going to see every single one received back from the dead. See, because God supplied the substitute. But that's not all. No. It was as though the boy were dead and came back from the dead. Now let's go to Scripture on this. Third chapter of Acts. Now he talks here. Verse 19, the middle part, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, at that time even he shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed. But hold it. That still won't do it, but that's the time he's going to come. The heavens must retain him until the restoration of all things.
which God has spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the prophets of the Lord your God, raise up in your brethren like unto me, him you'll hear in all things that he said unto you. It will come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. Now he tells you right in there, before the time of that one coming back in flesh, he's got to be a prophet. Well, he can't come back in the flesh and be a prophet. No way, he's judging King of Kings. No way. Priest gives way to judge gives way to king. Prophet gives way to judge gives way to king. Now listen, it'll come past every soul and so on. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken likewise foretold of these days, back there and now, about his second coming. You're the children of the prophets, and the covenant which God made with them with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, thy seed, unto Abraham, and to thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now listen, in thee thy seed which was Isaac, thy son, thine only son, whom he received from the dead. See? Not the shedding of blood. The shedding of blood would have taken away the guilt of every single person, but it couldn't follow through. It opened the door to the follow through so that God could now act.
Amen.
See? Couldn't act before. Just sin would have been dissipated. Sin would have been gone. Now they'd have been souls down there, just forgiven souls. Prisons wouldn't have been empty. Now what? Unto you first, God having raised up his son, sent him to bless you. Raised him up and sent him to bless you. Okay. Raised up his son, who is according to verses 22 and 23, that prophet. See? Now, actually raised up means sent him on a mission. Where did he send on a mission? His right hand, Majesty on high. Interceding. When did he raise him up to them? As the Holy Ghost. Then he raised him up as the Holy Ghost. See? The same thing at this time. The Holy Spirit is raised up to us again. Now let's look at Pentecost. At Pentecost, there's a pillar of fire. It divided himself. If there had been 80 billion people or 20 trillion or 100 trillion or trillions of trillions there, the Holy Spirit could still have divided himself and left trillions and trillions and untold trillions that could have still come in. Like the sperm of a man. One male ejaculate could bring every single child ever to be born into existence. Haven't hurt the man one bit. Haven't diminished him one bit. But when Paul saw him, that was not Pentecost. That was the Father of the born ones. Actually, pregnated ones, what it really amounts to. Because there was a seed in here. There was a good seed, but there's no life in it. God planted good seed. Serpent came along and messed things up. But by predestination, everybody, this is the child of God, got a seed here. That's the pulp, like the woman supplies the egg. And the Holy Spirit comes down in there, and Christ becomes formed. See? All right? Now, Paul was not there at Pentecost. Didn't need to be. The dead were not there at Pentecost. Didn't need to be. You follow me? Okay. Now, listen. The baptism with the Holy Ghost is given until the day of redemption. Temporary. How are you going to be in a resurrection? You say, hey, I want to tell you something.
I got the blood. I'm born again. Axiomatically, I'm in a resurrection. Bible doesn't say that. Bible says you're guaranteed of the resurrection. But it also gives them a guarantee it's going to get you out of the ground. Now, the point is this. What about those that are standing here? Ah, that's a mystery. Doesn't say one thing about you having the Holy Ghost, you're going to get change your members right here. Doesn't say one thing about it. No way. But it tells you, and I preach the reflection, and it tells you that it is by that word that reflects Christ to you. No longer reflecting you. But now you see yourself reflected, and that is Christ. You don't see yourself anymore. The definitive work of the Holy Ghost by the word of the prophet, the same as in the first resurrection, is what is going to bring about the change in a bride here, so that we receive our dead brought back to life. And God raises up Jesus Christ to the Gentiles at the end time. He's not raising up a man, because when God raised him up, he did not send a man to Israel. He sent the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is given at this end time to bring the dead out of the ground. And it is not the baptism with the Holy Ghost that does it. It is his presence here that does it. Now, that's why he started talking to me about the fact that when you talk about him coming, you do not in every case simply say, the Lamb shed his blood. And then you go into a state of oblivion and attempt to attach a dynamism to the blood. The dynamism is not in the blood, it is in the life. See? The blood had to be shed so the life could come. And when that life came out, it did not go into the grave as the Holy Ghost. Because he'd already gone back on Gethsemane. Brother Brand said he left him in Gethsemane. And when he died, he himself went down there as that second man. The last Adam, the Messiah, the seed, he stood right there in that theophonic body, clothed in a spirit body, and he walked right in. And he ripped those gates off. He took the captives into captivity. Now, the same one, the Bible said, led captivity captive, came back to Paul as the Holy Spirit and came down and brought that word which is going to perfect a bride. Not that the blood doesn't perfect. The blood has already made her perfect as far as the fact she is blameless. There is no sin. There is no way you can attribute. But I'm going to tell you something. If a man's not born again, I don't care. You can talk about the blood all you want. And what the blood of the Lamb is supposed to do, if that light does not come back, the blood sits there ineffective and ineffectual for those who are not born of the Spirit of Almighty God. Those that are born of the Spirit of God in this end time. It's at the end time in the days of the return of the prophet. The Holy Spirit, God, the Son of God, raised up now to the Gentiles. That is here to bring the dead out of the ground and to change us. So that Alpha becomes Omega, Omega becomes Alpha. You simply cannot change the things of Almighty God. So as time goes on, we'll be looking at some of these things as they come to our attention. Based on the fact that though the blood will never lose its power, though the blood and the cross is the centrality of the ages of Almighty God, it was the blood that remitted sin. But they would have still been in the graves. And still in Upper Sheol, if he hadn't gone down and got him. It was not an automatic process. It was automatic only insofar that it was the plan of God.
neither is this an automatic process, except that it is in the plan of God, and it'll come right to pass as God says. See? Now, we've had the prophet. We've had the show. The captain of the bride, which is that terrible army, has descended amongst her. See? That's first, like he first came to Israel and did that basic work, the shout from the cross, waking him up. Next will come the voice, which is bringing him out of the ground. Now remember, this bride has to wake up because she's sleeping amongst the dead. She's a sleeping virgin at the end time, the same as the others. But she's a wide sleeping virgin. See, so the waking up process is in him now. And the next thing is the voice that's going to bring him out of the grave. Then we receive our dead because we stand here like Abraham. We're getting older. We're getting weaker. Brother Branham said we're smarter but weaker. I'm dumber but weaker. I qualify for the old Amish, the old Dutch saying, too soon we're old, too late we're smart. But here we are. See? Like Abraham. You going to tell me that you are going to live forever? Yep. You mean to tell me that you're not going to die? Yep. Why, man, listen. 2 years ago, you didn't have a gray hair in your head and you had a whole lot more hairs. What's that God doing? Well, you're dying, you idiot. But God said, I'm going to live. Oh, come on. You can't believe for 1 minute in the face of all this. Why, they've been saying this for ages and ages and ages. Or you say, that's okay. I've been saying it maybe years ago myself, but it didn't look like it. But now I realize the more it doesn't look like it, the more I believe what he said. What is it, holy mackerel, you've got to be nuts. Well, I am nuts. I lost my mind and got his. Because, you see, repentance is a change of the mind. The last thing that God demands of a church age is repentance because they're loused up with their thinking theology. And he said, you've made void my word by your traditions. In other words, the very promises that people are standing on that's in this word dies, they'll never get it. Because it's a misdivision. It's Cain. Well, they say, just a minute, preacher, and Prophet Branham. Let me tell you something. I believe, Dale, you think your teacher ain't much of a teacher. Let me tell you something. The Word of God says, blah, 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 this. Don't you tell me I'm wrong. That's what Cain said to Abel. And Abel says, you are wrong. So listen, the fire fell and took my sacrifice. Cain said, well, the fire will fall and get you as a sacrifice. Religious war. The first war on earth was a religious war when God himself, the prophet, blew the trumpet of prophecy of revelation. Huh? Remember your shoes now. Seal break, trumpet sounds. Battle is waged. War. There was a war, all right. Abel got killed. God took his saint home. One saint. Good. Every time there is a seal broke, a means of signifying a mystery revealed, a revelation, there is a war, somebody's going to die. Always a child of God gets it. See? War starts. Why, just a minute, Cain said, look at here. I can show you this is in the Bible. Well, I can too. I got no problem. I'm sure it's the Bible. Now, they stood there and they argued. No doubt. See? And God wasn't Johnny on the spot. Now, listen. Until Abel
was in Upper Sheol, and Cain was in Lower Sheol, and the Lamb walked in the form of the Spirit, and he said, Cain, serpent seed, because he's one lost before the flood, remember? Yep. Should have known better. He said, you're staying here. I'm going to tell you something, Cain. You killed, and you're wrong. Cain, your revelation made you a killer and put you there. He went over to Upper Sheol, and he said, Abel, I want to talk to you. He said, you're the first one that died for me. Because you took the lamb which represented me. Now he said, you're right, your revelation was right. And you're the blood of the first martyr. And that blood's been calling for a long time for vengeance. And I'm going to get you out of here. All right? The world has never wanted to acquiesce to a true divine revelation. The people today do not want to acquiesce to an identified revelation by a prophet. They will quote Paul. Then when Paul is vindicated, they'll say, ha, I don't believe it. Then they say to be Paul. Now, Brother Branham has a vision. And he goes into what we might call Upper Sheol, the fifth dimension. Was it fifth dimension? Or sixth? I forget now. I'm not much in dimensions. But I believe everything's in dimension. I believe in dimensions, but I never know what dimension exactly. I'll remember later on, likely. But he gets caught up in this vision, likely to the third heaven somewhere, like Paul was caught. And he sees all these people, and they come screaming, my darling brother, my darling brother, my darling brother. And he says, this is lovely. Who are you? And the guide says, well, these are all Branhamites. He said, man, he said, I don't have that many relatives. Oh, he said, no. He said, these are the ones that got saved under the ministry. That'd be really mean in this church age, under this word. Why, he said, who is this lovely person? Well, she got saved at 90 years of age, and she's 19 years old now. Well, he said, this was all fine, but he said, and this is nice, but I want to see him. Oh, they said, you can't see him. Now, he'll come to you, and he'll judge you according to the word. Now, listen. He said, but I preach what Paul preached. And they screamed, we're depending on that. Why? To get him out. He said, why do they want to get out? They weren't meant to stay there, honey. They're not idiots. To stay in a hospital with some kind of a complex because they can't forget the nice, warm, dark place of their mother's womb. So they lie there like little babies all scrunched up in a prenatal position thinking how nice to be in that place. They want to get out! Any baby that's got anything wants to get out. Out of the womb. On the earth. Because that's where they belong. You let a baby stay in there too long, it's gone. You didn't catch that. I'll catch it for you. Yeah. He said, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. That'll get him out. Or they'll all die in that place. Healing. Son of righteousness is immortality. See? Okay, they wanted to get out. And when they saw him, oh man, they got happy. They said, this is the last one. Nobody else is coming like this one because he is the messenger. And they said, now remember. Now listen, let's get this friend. They have been under the blood, right? They have been full of the Holy Ghost, right? Right? They're up there now.
And there this angel said, hey, held it. You can't see him. He's going to come to you and judge you according to what you preached. According to what you preached. And he said, I preached what Paul preached. And they said, we're depending on that. They lied. Bunch of cotton picking liars. No? 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 To the theologians, a bunch of idiots. Or they say that stupid Branham. Hillbilly Kentucky jerk. Mercy from God. Just because he had a big ministry, he'd all fucked it. That stupid idiot. No? 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 No way. I'm going to ask you a question. Who heard William Branham of that bunch preach the seals? I'm thinking of him. Who did? We did. Then the bride gets the dead out of the ground. You say, Brother Baird, you made that up. No, the prophet said it, and I'm telling you how it's done. Isn't it wonderful? We're going to get people out of the ground. We're not going to call them on the ground. It's because we are here that Brother Branham preached to us. Now listen, he said, am I preaching to souls in prison? Brother Branham isn't going to go to that lower place and preach to souls in prison. He's going to preach to those who, in the days of Noah, Elohim sent a messenger with the covenant of an ark, which would get them over. They turned him down flat. The ark represents Jesus. And he had to go down there and preach to those souls in prison. William Branham did the same thing in this hour, and the bride today is preaching to souls in prison. But they are not going to the souls that are in prison down there. They are going to the complete counterpart. Because in the days of Noah, there was only one pure man genetically, which was Noah, his wife. Had wrong flesh. The sons had wrong flesh. The daughters-in-law had wrong flesh. The last true living human being was Noah. That's right. The next human being was Jesus. Now, he didn't propagate. By flesh, he propagates by spirit. So now, at the end time, how many people do you think are here that are genetically perfect? Nobody. But on the other hand, just how much have people gone back to being serpents, beasts? Just get rid of the genetics where you don't even find any humans left anymore. Now look, there's no natural affection anymore. Has got to be perverted. There's nothing left anymore. So the preaching to the souls in prison was by the Spirit of Christ in the prophet and the Spirit of Christ in the bride. It's going on right now. And that life that is in the bride and that fact of this end time presence of God and Elijah is the entitlement of Brother Branham to categorically say the bride will bring the dead out of the ground. Now remember, as I told you, they said we're depending on that. And we are the ones that get that message of Paul. So that we are no longer under a false gospel, under a false Jesus, under a false spirit, we have been restored to virginity. They said, we're depending on that.
Now, you see why Brother Branham said this word must be treated seriously? And all the time we can have to be spent upon this word, and it's only since he talked to me about the judge that my mind has begun to just almost go out of itself. Because I don't know just where I'm going, I don't know just exactly what I'm going to write in notes. Now, tonight I preach absolutely without notes. I have to depend entirely upon God as thoughts begin to come, what he wants me to go into. But I want to tell you this, and I'll let you go home early. I want to tell you this, as I stand here, I do not lie to you. Unless some other spirit than God's spirit is lying to me, I tell you, we are nearer the resurrection than you ever believed before. I don't lie to you. I don't lie to you anything. Because, you see, I warned you and told you when I got that one sign before, that slanting in, that star was standing still there. I don't care about stars anymore. I don't care about any sign in the heaven. I don't care two bits about any sign on the earth. I care less about what's going on out there. It means nothing. Everything in this word, and I'm going to tell you, not because I'm holding myself, it's because he holds me to it. And instantly, when that speak, whatever it is, speaks to me, it's got to go right back to the word. And I'll tell you why. When that angel swept in the room seven times in a row under Brother Branham's ministry, which was the embodiment of the Holy Ghost, which was almost literally, not the theophany was, of the seven church age messengers, but the representative, which was in the form of an angel, the Holy Spirit, every time one came, the prophet went absolutely to the word. Now, I can't do anything else but go to the word myself. I wouldn't know anywhere to go. And there are times like I do tonight. I just got to sit there and I just think, because that's all I can do. I don't know where to turn. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You've got to let your thinking go. Now, I could have said to that voice inside of me that said that, now, just a minute. I said, now, hold it. Nobody's going to tell me that Jesus did anything but die. Because when he died, he came to die and that's it. But that is not it. He came to open the prison houses and bring up the captives. Now, his death didn't do it. He had to do it. See? He had to lead them up there. Now, this is where the fundamental world and everybody but us is off course. And let me assure you, this is why the battle thickens. And I get my phone calls from the funniest places. I don't expect them, in other words. And I find out that this understanding we have of his presence is being called false doctrine. I laugh at those who call it false doctrine because they're like a bunch of cucumbers in a radish patch. I know them and I know their lies. If I'm black as the kettle, better not the pot say so. I know a lot of that nonsense comes from the charges that men lay. And we're going to be fought more and more and more. Because when you talk about he's here, you realize I preach sermon after sermon of why he is here. And that lets you know what he is doing. And what is going on with you. And if we are right, let's get this breath. We are unequivocally seen. And there's not one going to miss the resurrection and rapture on that condition. Because it is not a case of Jesus dying and rising and you claiming the blood and claiming to be full of the Holy Ghost, because that is a bunch of nonsense, because no man can be full of the Holy Ghost and turn down the shout. Nobody, nobody, nobody. Because the shout is the prophet commander. And Brother Branham was an Indian chief on a white horse. And an Indian chief leads, and he rules by his word, which is law. And if his word doesn't have any strength, the Indians just disappear apart, and they say, well, sorry, old chief, you ain't much of a chief. And he rode off into the sunset. He said, I'll ride this trail once more. Remember, I told you last Sunday, that when God appeared as Elohim, he said, I am coming to you now, for this is that season, but I will return. at the season of Sarah, when the bringing forth of that boy, there's not a record of it, don't you worry, he was there. Now the Elohim that is here, when the propitious time arrives, he is going to go back, ascend up ahead of us. And he will incarnate himself in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he does, we'll come right up behind him. And he will present us to himself at the great marriage supper and the wedding. And that great one will ride that trail once more. You better believe it. And this time in the full regalia of power. Today it is a message without power, because the prophet always fizzles. But that word is life working on bodies right now, and we are going to bring the dead out of the ground by way of this message, Paul's message. And we are going to come back and take the world over. Exactly as he took those saints up there with the scream of the mighty king, with the shout in the camp, and they arose with him and over the balustrades of heaven, the bride of this age will do the very same thing, because she will be in the presence of the great chief, the commander, the judge, the Lord, Almighty God. Now we're right near that day. I would think myself that there's a good possibility we have turned the corner. That the word has run out. A good possibility the last elected one is in, but perhaps not child trained. Now I know everybody looks around and they say, well, hey, they've got to have this experience like ours, that experience. There's where Pentecost, when haywire talking tongues, forget it. 99% of the tongue talkers, if not 99.9% of the tongue talkers, because what, there's millions and millions and millions of them, will never make the rapture. It's impossible, because they cannot believe. Because they over there said, we're depending on that. Well, it's not nice to have your feet cut off, but it is nice when God turns around and shows them that ain't nobody half as smart as God. You know, you just can't fool with God. I know that. I can get upset at times, but listen, let's forget that. He's talking about the fact of the glory coming from Sinai. What glory? Well, God's always glorious. Everything but God is glorious. You can't compare. What are you going to do? I don't care if God just came down here and he dropped off toads. That's glorious. Which I don't like it. Who asked you to like it? Can you do it? No. Well, it's glorious. People are so messed up, it's horrible. Now, Sinai was glorious. And God stood there in the full regalia of his glory. And he said, man, I'm going to tell you what you're like. Now, he said, you'll have no other gods before me. Let's get that flat. Well, he's just a minute now. What makes you think I got other gods? Well, you will. Why? Don't you understand anything I ever tell you? Back in the garden, I told you, you're going to leave me for her. Did it come out right? Yeah, sure it did. This will come out right too. You're a mess. You're going to be idolaters. Oh, no, that couldn't be that. That couldn't be that. You can't be. And they got another Jesus in the first century? Another spirit, another gospel? And they're not idolaters? You've got to be nuts. See? And you know what? The word exposed them for what was inside of them. And the law said, don't do it. And what was inside rose up and did it. Well, thou shalt not covet. The law said, you mustn't covet. And that thing inside rose up and did it. The law said, you mustn't commit adultery. And even David had a great time doing it. Don't worry, he was wound up like a top. Let's get under. We're not a bunch of kids here tonight. He was plumb carried away. He had all the wives he needed and then some. This was the hottest dish under high heaven. All he had to do is ask God for him, and he would have got her. But no, he had to kill for her. entice her, because who's going to turn the king down? Nothing wrong with David. Just the law said, you shall not commit adultery. And arose right up to do it. All I'm showing you here, the Bible said the law is good, the law is holy, but what it does, it brings forth death. Why? Because that's all there is in there is death. See? Now, you've got Christ in there. Bible turns around and said, now, mask might be on this cheek, you turn the other. Now, you don't rise up right away now and just do opposite. You say, hey, that's something should be done. Might not be too nice, but something in there says that's the thing to do. Law says don't do it, and you do it. Why? Because you haven't got the thing in here that'll make it work. Well, when you're born again, you got the thing that does work. Now, see, this law here, from God, showed man what he was. And he's dead, dead, dead. He's finished. He's a mess. Now, it says here, today, where the Spirit of God is, we all with open face, that's unveiled faces, creeds and dogmas are cut aside, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord. Now, it tells you right there, you're doing the looking in the glass. Now, you call it the Word, go ahead. And you don't see your image anymore. Because the unveiled Word, with the unveiled face, sees only Christ. Well, you see, I see myself. Well, what do you see yourself? You can't be full of the Holy Ghost. You can't be under the blood. You can't be looking at divine revelation. Because the revelation of John was Jesus the Christ. The revelation of Paul was Jesus the Christ. The revelation of the entire New Testament based on the Old was Jesus the Christ. Sinai wasn't. Sinai was a revelation of man. Pooey on man. Who needs him? Stinking liability. Let's get rid of him. Absolutely. This is the step right here. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, said Paul. We got it. We got the transfiguring, transforming ministry, said Paul. I've got it. Oh, yeah. I said, I don't think I can believe that. I don't think I can believe that because, you see, after all, we are such lovely folk. We believe in the blood, you see. And when you believe you get the Holy Ghost, you see what you don't. And you see what it is. We look to Jesus. Hallelujah. But you liar. But you liar. Now, people don't like that because that's straight preaching. Maybe you don't like it because you're tired anyway. Well, that's fine. Get born again. You won't be tired. Be like me. Stand up here and feel better all day. Want to stick around for 6 more hours so I can have a health break? That's what I mean. I can talk to you. You talk back. Nobody. I'm not preaching up here. I'm having a conversation here. Some of you don't want to talk. Come on, smarten up. Now listen. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Just a minute now. Hold your finger there. Hold your mind there. Now stay with me, because listen, there's something happening here more than you know. See, I can't convince a lot of you people yet that this is what changes people. You sit here and you think, oh, I've heard this, I've heard this. Look, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be sitting here when we're gone. I'm going to be here forever. I just don't tell you flat. Now you say, Brother Dave, you're bold. You bet your sweet life I'm bold. I ain't kidding anymore. You don't have, after 45 years, the grace of God turn you around when you spit in his face and make him nothing but a stinking, rotten liar like the man that you are. And him in his love and grace turn right around and make you to know you're in his image with his righteousness and guiltless. Just spit in his face. That's what people can't understand. You preach like a man possessed. Listen, he said right here, have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now, he says over here at the end time, that which he preached in his purity, in the way he preached it. God gave these this ministry through the Holy Ghost, which is the word ministry, for the perfect saints, for the work of the ministry, edifying of Christ, till we all come in unity of faith, even the knowledge of the Son of God, unto perfect man, unto measure of the stature of Christ. To what end? We henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carry by the every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to decide, to deceive, but holding the truth in love. Now listen, you understand what I'm telling you? He said he did this. This. Now listen, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. That's why we've got this ministry. Brother Branham said, I'm the only man that can do it. The reason that everything comes to pass, I say, because I'm the only man living that can tell it as it was shown me. Paul said the same thing. Now he said, listen, I want to tell you something. I got this ministry. What ministry?
Did you look at that word? Like a mirror. And there's no condemnation. You see him?
Your reflection is Christ.
Well, you say, you mean I'm a little Jesus? You're a little Jesus. You're a little Christ? Yeah, you're a Christ.
You mean I don't have his image? No, you're not dead, you're living. Now he said, look, this ministry of transfiguration through unveiling people's minds and presenting this from the Word will transform you. Will change the living. Bring the dead out of the ground. Why? Because I'm not dishonest, said Paul. I'm not walking in craftiness. Because I don't have the Word of God secretly. But he said, I have shown you that this is indeed the Word of God. Now, in this word lies that transfiguring. That's why they said that there. We're resting on that. I'm asking you a question. They're over there where they're smart. They made it. They know that they're born again. They know that they're supposed to get a resurrected body. They're crying for it. They're going to come back and rule the earth. And they know what it's all about. And not one of them said, hallelujah, I'm born again. Not one said anything about the blood, though. I'm not running the blood down, I'm just telling you, without they wouldn't be there. They never said a thing about the Holy Ghost. They said, we're resting on the fact, Reverend William Branham, prophet of God, that you preach like Paul. And that means, ha-ha, ha-ha. I'll tell you why, ha-ha. Sometimes I got a poor memory and I can't tell you. I can tell you right here. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be as stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, leaving neither root nor branch, but unto you. Not the dead, but unto you that are there at that time. You'd be burnt up too. Yeah. Unless the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings, you're going to get it too. You'll tread down the wicked. You'll tread the wicked down. If he asks on the sole of your feet. Notice what he said. We're going to do it. I'm going to listen. Now, let's hold this. Remember, in the original Hebrew, where God speaks concerning the Satan, the word in the Hebrew of seed is plural. Not singular. Jesus does not come by himself and tread them down. He is merely the advanced God where he takes the Antichrist by the neck and squeezes. Like a serpent does. He gets him squeezed back and he looks at him. And we can do action. And tread down the wicked. Seeds. Huh? How many turnip seeds were there to bring all the turnips around this world together? One turnip seed. It took these seeds to bring all the other seeds. Oh, I feel good. Mighty conqueror. Mighty conquering down there and pulled the gates of hell out just for fun. Oh, he could have kicked them in. It was much more fun ripping them off.
throwing them clean in the lower seals just to see what they'd do about it. Say, you boys like gates, here's some more. Be asher and sole your feet in the day that I shall do this at the Lord. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, Horeb. Now listen, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of those children present. Not those in Upper Sheol, which are no more there, but in paradise. He won't turn their hearts. It's our hearts that got to be turned. And they're depending on the gospel of Paul to turn it.
Because it's according to Paul's gospel. Not anything else that is going to come. Now, he said here, I wasn't deceitful. Vindicated and proven, this message. But he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And Brother Brand said, now this man, the seller, he said, is a son of fish. And he said, I don't believe you're a son of fish. And he said, well, come on, see. Oh, he said, I wouldn't go and see. He said, no, not there anything. And he said, even if there was, I wouldn't believe it. He said, that sounds kind of silly. Is it silly? Here's a silly, and Brother Branham stood there before about, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of Indians over there in Bombay or Calcutta or someplace where it was in India. And the James stood there, and the priest stood there, and they all had the harangue, and they acted so smart they had all the answers. And there was a blind man sitting there, looked at his sun god till he had no more eyes. And the mayor of the city was there, and all them Brother Branham just waited and waited. Now he said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, the God that I worship gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose from the dead. Now he said, I'm going to tell you. So you guys talk about all your gods. He said, which one of you in the name of your God would give this man his eyesight? Oh man, there wasn't a peep in the house. Well, he said, you're mighty quiet. A while ago he said, you sure talked. Why don't you talk now? You can see old Elijah right there. Where's your God? Is he off sleeping? Is he dead? Is he hunting? Is he moving? Did he let you down? He said, well, come on, ring the bell a little louder. Maybe the old boy, he's got hard hearing. Wake him up. Well, it could be he's gone hunting. Who knows? Wait till the bugle blows and the hounds come home and he'll come with him. Oh, Elijah, gee. So Brother Brand's a good old Elijah boy. Now, you know, he can gig. Don't think he couldn't. His barbs were sharp with the Holy Ghost wisdom God gave him. So he gigged him. Oh, he said, you're mighty silent, but. Now, he said, what if I pray for this man, and that God gives it, that I serve, gives him his sight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, will you believe him? Oh, of course, the people, yeah, they believe. So one rose from the dead and picked their cherry tree and preserved their apples for him. They wouldn't believe. Come on. You can't believe it. You're not ordained to it. Don't be ridiculous. Come on, it's just like when all the penguins are out there and all the seals are out there. How come Mama Penguin knows her baby and then Mama Seal knows her baby? Nobody else does. It's exactly right about God's people. Nobody else knows their God even when they see him. Go right on by. Look at somebody else's breast. They go to the whore. Look off of her breast. I thought Jehovah Jireh, I thought their breast had one of those El Shaddai. I thought Jehovah Jireh was El Shaddai. I thought we're living off of him. Nobody seems to think so, but nuts like us. Now he said, our God is in him, the lost, in whom the God of this world will blind the minds of them, and believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The truth of Christ and God, gospel, spirit, Jesus, shines in at the last days. A complete revelation of him, and he's here, proving his presence. That is going to bring the dead out of the ground. Why? Because the revelation is Christ. I don't have a revelation anymore. Mine's gone because it isn't worth having. Christ died in my stead. I'm risen with him. Then I don't have a revelation of my image anymore. I don't have an image anymore. My image is gone. Now, this is what is happening today. And the people can't apprehend it because they're Pentecostal, they're legalists, they want to do something. Well, I'll tell you what you do tonight. Do me a favor. This is very simple. But the resurrection is much more difficult. Just walk on the ceiling like those flies, please. Now, you can have toe jam as 1 inch thick like butter and the soles of your feet. You still ain't going to make it. Because they got little sticky feet. They're made to walk on seats. That may sound silly. Well, let's face it. The Word of God says you can't add 1 cubit stature by thinking. You can't even say, hey, tomorrow we'll go to town and get that lumber. You can't, but you do. Because, you know,
there's a very good chance that you will, but there's coming a day when you won't. So he said, don't say you're going to go to town and do so-and-so by himself. He said, if God will, we're going to do it. See? Now, people can't understand this. And Brother Branham said the simplicity goes over their heads because they don't realize that group over there said, we're depending on that. What do you mean depending on that? They're already there. Where are they? I'm glad you asked the question. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. They're in there. Man, I'm sure glad people pray for me or I'd be groaning worse than I do. Of course, I like to groan a bit so you'll sympathy. And they don't work me too hard either. And then I step in and I say, feel good preaching. You sit around and you say, that's nice, Brother Bailey, can preach. And we have a lot of fun like tonight. Nice communication. Everybody happy. And I see you smile and I'm glad you're smiling. And I trust you're enjoying yourselves. And this message, because this word is doing something to you, whether you know it or not. Because they said we're depending on it. Then if they're depending on it, how much more will you depend on it? Now, if it's worthwhile for them to depend, what's the matter with you if you don't depend? Well, you'd have to be completely logo. What if there's something wrong? Your head's full of marbles or lumps. Your heart is in the abyss. See? It's too simple. I like it. Because you see, he did it. He did it. I'm not doing a thing. Well, see, Brother Bev's got to be character. If this is an age where there isn't any character, that's why there should be all the more in the same. But I ain't going to get you anywhere. I ask you a question. In the showdown, how far did character get Jesus? Nowhere. Really, it didn't get him anywhere. Got him death. Because he was the perfect one. The only perfect one could die. And do anything about it. So what if you had a perfect character? Where's it going to get you? You haven't got a perfect character anyway. No way to get a perfect character. Let me tell you something. The Bible said, what did he put now? Oh my. Oh, for we have all, for we have sinned and come short, for all have sinned come short of the glory of God. That doesn't say that. It says, for all are sinning and constantly falling short of the glory of God. All right. I like what Newell said. Newell said, all right, I'm a man standing on the wharf in New York, and I intend to jump all the way to France. And I said, I can't do it. But I got news for you. The man that jumps the furthest gets the closest, and he's the worst predicament because the furthest is short. Right? So the harder you try and put it anywhere but where he says, you should jump further and further into trouble. Now listen, if you had any wisdom, and you do have, and you have the sense to put together experience, and we've just been through some, you caught what I said. Right? If you didn't, it's all right. You get it next time. There's a next time. Which I don't know if there is. All right. We're going to close on that. What he says here. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Let there be light. Now hold it. Who's the commander? Boy, that's a big shot in the army. Right? Who? He descends with the what? Shout. He said, light. Shine into that darkness. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What light? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the light was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness. What's shining? Logos. Yeah. People get tired of Logos, don't they? I know they do. It's pity to do. Who's got something here? Oh, yes, I got it right here. Aha. Crystal ball. You're up in, I said, now I'm going to tell you something. Look in that crystal ball thing. Look attentively. Don't look away from it. God, you got cancer. There's healing light in that crystal ball.
and the healing light is life for you, you've got cancer. If you tear your eyes away, you won't live. We said, Brother Bill, I can't see that. Okay, brazen serpent. Got you now. Brazen serpent, that's brass. Brass symbolical, that's why you got the cups of brass. It's not gold, that's brass. Okay, look at the brass serpent. Professor. Oh, Bassett. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, no flies over there. I think it's not cold. No, you gaze and you stay looking. Do you get cured of snake bite? Keep looking. Keep looking. You got it? Okay, Ephesians.
You don't need to look. I'll look it for you. Don't worry. Just you listen to me. It's too hard for you to fool around with your scripture. I get it right away. Hope so, anyway. After the folk are full of the Holy Ghost, he said, I cease not to give thanks and thanks and prayers to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge of him, the eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may know what's the hope of his calling. Now, right there is this knowledge, in the knowledge of the revelation has a profound effect upon the believer, and that profound effect says it will bring about a resurrection. I'm looking at Logos. And I talk about Logos. I'm all steamed up about Logos. Shut up, Bill, you talk too much, Logos. Who died? Now, look, I'm not kidding, brother, sister. I've been through this. That's why I'm here. And I'm not angry. I'm very happy. But I always keep saying, don't pull it again. Because there's death. Not because of Lee Vale. No. Because of this word. The Logos is the image of God.
Amen.
And we become his image through this word that shines into darkness. Now, if you don't understand that, you crucify him to yourself afresh. You won't get off the earth. There's no way you're going to make it. Not my preaching. I ain't got nothing to do with it. But this is a ministry in an earthen vessel of a prophet. And he said, see, we have this ministry. We faint not. He said, if there's anything that spurs me on, it is this revealed word. Now, you are reading this Bible with that in mind, that this book was written for this hour, and William Branham is there, not the Apostle Paul. You'll wake up to the mighty prophet we had in our day and what's exactly going on. He said, then why was Elijah? Because Paul's message did not bring death. The hour of separation was not in Paul's day, it is in our day. And this is that dark hour when that last light shines in the west. The Son of Man ministry proving it. Which Son of Man goes to judge. And judge goes to king. And we better be a part of those that don't come into condemnation. God commanded the light to shine into our hearts. Right? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, that already happened. I preach what Paul preached. We're depending on that. Every single church age had the same cry. All right. Cease not to give thanks. Reading again. Making mention of you in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your heart being enlightened. God hath commanded. The shout. He's descended as a commander. And he's commanding the light to shine. It's a revelation. Sure. Yeah. This has got better than being married. Being worth a million bucks. going on trips around the world. Having everything at your fingertips.
Amen.
Nothing to touch this. Because God doesn't command His light to go to every heart. Nope. This is end time. He came down to command. Why, the shepherd always seeks the sheep. God always comes to the people. When did the people ever come to God? Adam, where are you? I'm over here hiding, I hope. Come on. You know it's the truth. The light shining that you may know. You get the banking. Hold it. Well, I'll hold my finger there for you. Save you the trouble. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and Christ is the glory of God, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And after that, you may know what only Christ knew first. And then the Old Testament saints. What is the exceeding greatness of God's power to us who believe, according to the working of God's own mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when God raised Christ from the dead and took Him up in a rapture and set Him there. The same thing is going to happen to us and going to put us in the banqueting hall, the wedding supper. Why? Sovereign grace. God commanding the shout. And remember, according to the Greek, it is not said to be the voice of God. Brother Branham talking to John the Baptist. He said, John the Baptist came and said, who are you? I'm the voice. What did Brother Branham say? I read it dozens of times, haven't I? Just dozens and dozens. Never get tired of reading it, though, because this is my favorite portion. It said, you might think I was trying to say this about myself, seeing I'm packing this message. I have more do than, no more than just the voice. In my voice, ha! My best judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. Smell like a skunk. Well, that's okay, smell like a skunk. If you don't smell like the dunghill, you can't be a prince. Because you only take beggars off the dunghill. Oh, I'm one of those better beggars. See, I stand on the corner of Wesley and Trinity. I'm one of those better ones. I don't smell like a dunghill. Pentecostal nurse. Well, I'm a little better because, you see, I stand on the corner of Luther. Yeah, what else? Well, you could call it Trinity or whatever you wanted to. The escapees from the Catholic Church. So he said, I don't smell like that either. They all smell like death. And what is dung? It's dead food, right? Oh, brother. Listen, what was wrong with the foolish virgin? There was nothing wrong with their word. It's just the life was out of it. That's all. That's what a foolish virgin is. The doctrine says there's no life in it. They're living in a glare. You've got to be in the glow. Like shining in darkness, love. And it comes by word. It comes by the prophet's word. And they said, we're depending on that. I'll tell you what. If they've got enough brains to depend upon it, and believe me, they've got the brains. Because they're there.
Right.
Ooh, that nice to get there. Except I like to eat. I think I'll stay here. Because then you see, I can keep eating. But my appetite will change. Thanks God. No more sinus. No more bad throat. That's right. We're coming into it. I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, it's about time to rejoice and get the upward look, because I'm telling you something I keep telling you. This is one reason I don't care if I die. It doesn't mean a thing. I'm going to be what I am, in a better place and a better condition, so therefore the real me is going to come out. And I'm going to find that the real me is that seed Christ identified. I've already found that out. But the circumstances are not conducive to my well-being. Yeah, the circumstances will be. Okay? Oh, yes, we're going over there. Now, I think that pretty well got it, so I just finished that little bit of scripture. Yeah. It says, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, listen to me. The face of Jesus has been veiled for 2,000 years. There's little cracks of light got through the odd time, just enough to get them over there. But there's got to be restoration. So the full light that shone in the east will shine in the west. So that Alpha is Omega, so the cornerstone is the capstone. Now listen, Jesus Christ himself, physically, bodily, was not the cornerstone of the Gentile church. The revelation was. It's built upon revelation, the church is. So the capstone of the spiritual pyramid upon, around which we built, see, is now the complete and full revelation with nothing more to go than what the Word demands, which is a change. Now, that capstone on the spiritual pyramid has just the teeniest little bit that's flat when we build around it. Now, it's peaked before we build around it. But when we build around it, our heads come right here and make it flat. Maybe that's why people have flat heads, because God doesn't have flat heads and he can use flat heads. Now then, we're caught up and he can stand as that physical peak. See? Now, on Sinai, the face of a man where lies the soul and character came forth. On Calvary, at Pentecost, in Paul's time and now in our time, comes the full revelation of that God who, of which it is said, Christ is the glory of God. He's the wisdom of God. Everything compressed into that man. And now what you see he's doing? He's shining forth toward us. And remember, it is the king's countenance that brings acceptance. When the king turns his head, you can't come. When he turns his face and extends the scepter, you can come on in. The extended scepter is out tonight because he is just about to be king. The kingdom is about to be brought to earth. And we seeing him unveiled, we seeing the Logos, which brings the transformation, is what we're depending upon, and all the church ages are depending upon, for they without us cannot be made perfect. And God said, at the end time it's so rotten. If I don't send Elijah to do something, now they've already got the blood, they've already got the Holy Ghost, they've already died in hope. And he said, I'll stop it if I don't do something. Right? Now you can say what you want, but that's absolutely the Word of God. I don't care what anybody says. I'd have to have a Brother Branham come right back here and say, leave for the maybe the first and the 50th, 1,000th time you preached air, you preach tonight. I'm going to tell you fat, I am not preaching air. Because he said, if I do not send Elijah, I'm going to just rip the whole thing down. But he said, unto you, the Son of Righteousness will arise with heat in his wings. God's going to do something special. And Pentecost have been screaming, something special. We're all going to have gifts. We're all going to get that. We're all going to be Elijah company. We're all this. Shut up, you're all nonsense. It's the all in all that's here. And the churches have missed it. And Pentecost leaders missed it. And they're going to go into a great union. And the great union is going to produce a lot of things. It's going to produce the most beautiful Antichrist the world's ever seen. He can be so like Jesus Christ, I believe he'll fool everybody but us. Because we'll be gone. And the foolish virgin will stand around here till it's too late. The dragon will spurt out water to get him. They'll find out he's the wrong one. I'm going to tell you what's going to be too late. And as Brother Branham said, the harlot will not be disappointed because she knew she was going to miss it. But these ones that think they're going to miss it will miss it. They're going to be disappointed ones. And Jesus said, the harlots, when the kingdom of God ahead of you. I'm not talking about the harlot system. I'm talking about little women out there that sell their bodies for a few dollars. They're going to get in ahead. If there's any getting in at all. Ahead of these bunch of these religious birds. They're birds, all right. Amen. Ever seen these black cloaked people look? Well, they look more like buzzards you ever saw in your life. Women with their funny black capes look around like penguins. When did you ever get anything in Scripture look like penguins? And crows and doves, bless God. Not buzzards. Not even wild geese. Doves. Absolutely. I don't know why people get so messed up. Why do they? They just don't even have enough sense to make their... Now, Paul said, this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power may be of God. William Branham, what do you mean? I'm just a poor standby. Skunk Skinner. Didn't have any brains at all. Even tried to escape his glory. Always having a hassle. Now, Paul said, trouble on every side, but not distressed. This is a bride. Perplexed, not in despair. You ever get perplexed? Well, don't get despaired. Perplexing is not bad, just don't get despairing. Persecuted, you're not forsaken. Down, but you're not destroyed. Oh, that's the best one of all. Every time you get down, oh, I'm destroyed. Oh, I'm destroyed. Don't show. Oh, my. Next thing you get up again, fat. You weren't destroyed. Should have been the end. Just a complaining caterwauling old goat. Isn't that awful? Cast down, not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also might be made manifest in our body. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you what. This generation is plumb dead already. They go through menopause at 20-some years of age or younger. My heavens. I never knew so many young men could have prostate trouble. Old guy like me, that's not bad. But my heavens, young men and women in menopause, kids, you're dying. Not just physical, spiritual, physical. Now, that the life might be being manifest. Abraham was dying. Look at him and say, hey, what makes you think you're gonna have a baby by Sarah? A couple old goats, good heavens. Come on, you're nuts. Well, he said so. Well, they said, you're dying. He said, I got news for you. We're already dead, generally speaking. He said, I can't, she can't. No way. He said, you didn't tell me nothing. I got a promise. You got the word, you got life. Now, for we which live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now it says, life made manifest in our mortal flesh. Do you know that's true? This mortality will put on immortality. See? He said, death worketh enough for life in you. we have the same spirit of faith, according to written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Knowing that he was raised up, Jesus Christ, you raised up also by Jesus, who shall present us with you. All right. You believe that? Okay. Let's go find out. And you can find out why I'm talking the way I talk the many times that I do talk. And I sure do talk many times, and I talk a lot. So let's get this right down pat. Third chapter, Malachi. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. You say you believe the Malachi message? Then talk. He writes this last book on Mr. Iniquity, and he talks about elders and defies Brother Branham's word as a prophet. And he talks about Malachi? What Malachi is he talking about? Maybe the Catholic saint. He didn't talk about this one. He's not talking this language. He's a liar, a seducer, and a hypocrite, a blasphemer of the word of God. I don't care who gets the tape. I'm ready to punch him out anyway, just on the principle that he shouldn't be punched out. Shouldn't get excited before the time. Now listen, what's going on here? They that feared the Lord spake of one another. And the book of Remembrance is written. It doesn't tell them they don't fear people, they fear God. The brother man said, shame to him. Said, you're ashamed of this message? I'm not ashamed of this message. I think it's fantastic. Now, I make excuses for some of the junk that goes around it, but this message here, this is fantastic. Now, they that are in this message, they spake often one to another. And the book of Remembrance is written before him for them that feared the Lord and they that thought upon his name. Now you speak what you think. And the prophet said you've got to say the right thing concerning the name, concerning God. Son of man, son of David, son of God. But it was this order. Son of man, son of God, son of David. Now you've got another order. Prophet, judge, king. You don't say the right thing, where are you going? Nowhere. He said, this is like kind of a game. It's not a game. It's instructions. The commander is here.
Okay? I ain't no paratrooper. Paratrooper jump down. This is a pair-upper. Take Jeff. Let's get that flat. And they that thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, the day that I make up my jewels, and I'll spare them. The man spares his own son, and he tells you when he's going to spare them. They're going to miss the day of wrath. Then shall you return. The returning is in the message and are speaking it. Now, come on. Then you'll know what's right. Now, let's find out how we know again. See, look, this scripture here absolutely comes together like, my heaven, I could never believe it except he's in here. All right. Having the same spirit of faith, the same spirit of Elijah, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus Christ and shall present us with you. That's his hour. What are they talking? They're talking the Malachi message. They're talking the Pauline message. They're into the word of this hour. Now, what's the Pauline message? Let's just find out. Just simple as ABC, when you begin to follow this thing through, brother, sister, it all adds up. Look, I just keep constantly amazed at how the scripture unfolds. But I certify you, brethren, the gospel which you preached to me is not after man, neither received it of man, neither received it or taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Who's doing it now? He that's here. Has he gone? No way. What has he left? The legacy of the word. Where is he? He's in the word. What's shining in our hearts? The light. How? By the word. What is that? That's the Logos. What's it going to do? It's going to bring about my change. It's going to bring the dead out of the ground. I've got an obligation. See, that's why I burnt to a crisp when I heard it. Tired of hearing about the Logos. So you're tired. Okay, be tired. Get out of my sight. Get out of my way. Don't stand in my way. See? See what I said? I said, Brother Evans, nothing against you ever, Tom. Nothing against any man here. I just said every man present. Don't get in my way. Because you'll find I'm not in your way. I'll be gone. Then you do what you want. You preach the sermons. But no man will get in my way again. Because after a business meeting, you're going to find out one thing. This building, as long as I am here, will be a church anybody can come to that believes this message. But it might be pretty risky after I'm gone if I go. Now, I'm not here to hurt anybody's feelings or anything else. But that's the agreement I'm here on. There's nobody but nobody ever going to be voted in between me and this word. Nobody. I am preaching this word the way I want it. And when anybody else doesn't want it, that's your business. So that's going to be part. If I have anything to do with it, and I have plenty to do with it, of the constitution of this church, that nobody from now on will come that I will work with. They, if anybody comes, will work with me. Because I cannot take a chance. Because I've got to stand before God as responsible to make him preeminent. And I can't do it by character because he said it won't work. How could I make him preeminent? He's got to make himself preeminent. Did he do it? He sure did. What's he left? Himself veiled in word. Presenting him here, letting you know at all times, it's out of your hands and mine, but it's still in earthen vessel, and your vessel is just as good as mine any day. Because look, I don't care if I was the most gifted preacher, the teacher that God ever left on this earth. I could be, but I'm very serious and doubt about that. I could be maybe last 1% or something. But I'm going to tell you one thing. It doesn't matter about that at all. It matters this word brought by a prophet. And it's Paul's gospel that's going to get them out. So they can come here and get their body. Yes, my brother, my sister. Yes, it depends on you. It depends on me. And somebody say, I'm tired. Well, if you're tired, go and go to bed. Get someone to tuck you in, sleep the sleep of death. Because at midnight comes the death angel. For the last plague is spiritual death. And in him alone is life. And the words that he that I speak are spirit. And their life, and the prophet said, thus it has been spoken, and thus it shall be, and God commanded. God commanded the heavens. God commanded the word. God commanded William Branham. God commanded Elijah. God commanded John. God commands this one. God
is in supreme control. And he commanded the light to shine in to darken hearts. There weren't any hearts darker than ours. There weren't anybody stupider than us. Oh, he picked an awful good bunch of people to test his word out on. Oh, you better believe it. You better believe it. Earthen vessel. Yeah. See, nobody looks around and says, look at me. Please don't. I've got enough guts to get up here to feel 40 washed up just to stand up here as long as I do and as often as I do. And I don't feel like doing it. But you see, something's in here. It's not like it used to be. No. No. So much for my notes. I always prefer to save them for Sunday anyway. Do you love them tonight? See what we're talking about? But you can't get away from it. It's not going to change because this is the Bible opened. And if the Bible is open, what are you going to see? Nothing but what he said. You can see anything else, right? Too simple, eh? No? I'm glad it's simple. No? I couldn't sigh like this before. Brother said, I read it. From now on, it doesn't matter what happens, honestly. It doesn't matter. You know? Yeah, 10 o'clock. Fools, that's going pretty soon. Pretty soon. You know, riding in an airplane, if you've never been in one, which I guess everybody here has been in one, you get a little scared the first time because, hey, you know, if we're getting, you know, I really don't belong up there. You know, especially when you're a little bit chicken like me. That's how an eagle raised with chickens, and it sort of rubbed off. And I wasn't so sure about being airborne. But you know what? Afterward, when you get up there and you find it is okay, though, you sort of lean back. You know, you're afraid to lean back. But when you get up there a few times, ain't nothing to leaning back. You enjoy it. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Why don't you just cast yourself upon it as the revealed word of a vindicated prophet that is going to get you there?
Amen.
So you're not going to do anything about it. You're not going to do about it. It's what he's doing about it. The centurion understood authority. He said to Jesus, look, he said, man, you don't have to come down to my place. He said, I understand authority giving commands. I say, I tell that man to do it, and he goes and does it. I tell this fellow, come and wash, you know, you come and polish my shoes, he does it. And I said, this fellow, you polish my armor, he does it. And I said, this fellow, hey, I'm hungry, go get me a basket of grapes, and he does it. He said, ain't nothing to it. He said, you just command it, it shall be done. And Jesus said, hey, he said, I don't think the Israelites got that kind of faith. That took a Gentile. Gentiles, that's you and me. Yeah. So we know what command is all about. So he commanded the light to shine into our heart. Where is that light? In the heart.
Amen.
He commanded it. Now you think the light's not going to go into our heart? No, when it goes into the heart, that's the light of illumination, see, of the revelation that becomes a part of you, and you're a part of it, and you can't be shaken from it. Listen, I want to tell you what. I understand for the first time the full assurance of faith in my own little tiddlywink way. Now, of course, the devil's going to try to knock it out of me, but he's a liar anyway, so drop dead. I'll settle with him later on. He'll get trillions of more years if he ain't careful. Because he deserves it. And you're going to fool with me in the things of God. Look, you know something. Now, you don't know it like you're going to bring it to pass because you've got a certain faith. And I say, I know tomorrow morning I'm going to be healed. I've known that. Sure, sir, I've been healed. Absolutely healed of an organic condition. No, this is different. This is that grinning kind. That happy, holding to your breath kind. I'm getting out of here. Oh, I'm getting changed. I'm part of that deal. No, see, Brother Bam, he's... Well, I looked that prophet in and he said, we're depending on that. Well, I'm depending on that.
You're going to get out of here. Oh, I'm going to get out of here. That'd be the prophet himself was going to get back here because of that. Hey, Brother Branham, come on. Let's get moving. I believe the same thing. What's all this waiting about? I'll tell you why. Because Brother Branham said when 10 people really believe this thing and get their minds together, there's going to be rapture.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 10, 12, 13, 19. There's about 18 people here.
There's enough for two raptures. What's going on here? I kid you not. I bring this lightly to you to get you to the place where I want to get you. To understand this is exactly what it's all about. This is the hand that reached down and turned me around. I can't help myself. He did it. Now you say, Brother Bale, you're nuts. Well, it was my turn to go nuts. It's in my genes. I can't help it. I can't do anything about what he did. Let me tell you something. I saw the prophet get it. And I will tell you again, I'm the only living man. I'll bet you $1 million, the whole donut. You don't have the whole donut, and I don't have $1 million. But I'm betting you anyway. There is no person living saw in the prophet's face what I saw, and he told me.
No way.
I will tell you, it's real. It's real. Go home, but not yet. I'm going to read it again. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. People look back in the sixth church age and they say, oh, the glory of Philadelphia. Oh, the glory of Philadelphia. Ah, shut up. There is no glory in Philadelphia that can touch this. No glory. As by the Spirit of the Lord, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, your creeds, your dogmas, not walking in craftiness, trying to prove a point, when it's already been proven by the prophet. Shut up! Stinking bunch of rotten theologians running around putting their tripe upon the people, trying to win them back to hell. Amen. That's exactly right, Bill. Don't tell me the love of God and the things of God in the heart of a man when this has been proven. And they sneak behind and tell lies and say, well, the prophet told me. And the prophet said, who's that guy? He just thinks he's called. I'll lie to you. Five witnesses. I'll bring him in. I don't care if it costs $10,000. I'll board Brother Evans. I don't know why he laughed. Just because he ain't got these doesn't mean we can't get it. We both go down and sign for it. No doubt people think we're rich. Renounce the hidden things. Dishonesty. Why should I try to be dishonest with you? Good night. If I was trying to win a crowd, I told my wife years ago, look, I know how I, pardon me, I used to know how what to be suave. No, I'm not lying to you. Even pretty girls used to like me. Because I was so suave. They never knew when they hurt my feelings. I wouldn't let them know. I was so nice to people, so sweet to people, they got mad at them. So, foo young, who needs to be nice? I can be as rotten as they are. I've been a success at my new calling. You know, look, I could be suave and join some church and have a big congregation. I believe I could. I'd go back preaching the positive gospel. Without a doubt, I believe I've got some of the greatest sermons in print or out of print, on faith. I've read all the books. I've read the Bible. I had Revelation. I've seen people get out of wheelchairs when I preach it. I've seen lives change. People get new cars and do this, new that. Deaf and dumb, you name it. It's been there. Closed my eyes and had a vision. See, hey, I can't figure this, but I said, somebody should get out of the wheelchair. I didn't know that the wheelchair in the car and the guy sat there. He should get up and walk. Oh, I could be very suave. I wasn't even suave then. Maybe I was sweet. Handle the word deceitfully. Why deceitfully? What are you going to get out of it? I get up here and tell you a lie. Tell you some trumped up thing. What's it going to get for us? It's going to get me a harder place in hell, that's all. A longer place of judgment. What's the use? Well, let's face it. The point is you got no use for me and I got no use for you per se. It's in Christ there's use. There's a value somewhere. I'm not trying to trade in your soul. Let the Catholic Church do that. Paul didn't do it.
But he said, by no handle the word of God this evening, but my manifestation of truth, commending ourselves. Now, I can't do that. The prophet already did it.
God doesn't prove and reprove a thing and reprove and reprove it. God does it this it. And he said, you blind leaders blind, couldn't you see this? Well, he said, look, you can tell the sky red at night, good day tomorrow morning. Sky red in the morning, watch out, don't go on the old Galilee, it might throw up a storm, you'll be in trouble. He said, you can tell that. He said, you fools, you can discern the sky out there, why can't you tell what's going on here? It's in the Word, I'm telling you, I'm living it, it's all before you. Now, I can't do that, William Branham did. Through what? God. As Brother Branham said, he had more success in his ministry, in my body, than he had in his own. Greater works than these should you do because you go to my Father. He that believeth. And William Branham was that believer. But when he got on the other side, they said, hey, he's going to come and judge you by what you taught. I said, huh? What a time. I just taught what Paul taught. They said, we're standing on that. Depending on that. Well, there you are. So therefore, brother, sister, I don't have to do one thing and you don't have to do one thing other than either you hear the tapes or I preach what the prophet said in my own way. You get maybe a little better in one sense of the word because I'm going to take more time where he couldn't take time. He said, you people break it down and feed the people. Now, the simplicity lies there. Now, don't try to figure things out. You'll believe it. Now, you all sit here today, tonight, every one of you had medicine from a doctor. You're getting kind of smart right now because, after all, you know, medicine has side effects. And so you're being taught by Nader and everybody else, watch those side effects, watch those side effects. And the theologian comes along and he said, there aren't any effects. He's a liar.
Amen.
There are effects. Yeah. Paul said they affect you zealously for their own good. I want to affect you tonight to get you changed. Because why? Because I believe I'm changed. Now, I can't prove anything. The prophet done proved it. We're depending on that. William Branham is depending on it, or he ain't coming back either. And Paul is depending on it, or he ain't going to get back. And Irene is depending on it, or he ain't going to get back. And you say, now, just a minute. No, I'm going to just a minute you. You're sitting in a dream world. If you don't believe, he said, I'm going to send Elijah. Wipe the whole thing out. Now, you see, these are just words. But they aren't words. Reality. You understand what I'm saying? No place for fooling anymore. I'm not half as serious as I'm going to be because he's going to help me. But ever since his last time, I've been on pins and needles. Can't sleep hard, take a pill, maybe go to sleep. Because there's something in the air, and I'm not one to lie to you and tell you something false, and I'm not one to scare you because I don't know. But what is going to be good? No Alice in Wonderland stuff. Nope. This is the mirror, and Alice doesn't look into it. We look into it. Not little Alice in Wonderland, or Malice in Thunderland, as Bob said about the Thunderland boys. No. We're looking in this. And this. We look at each other. We say, well, there is Jesus. And he says, there is Jesus. We become a mutual admiration society, so to speak. Christ looking for Christ. He finds us, we find him. You follow what I'm saying? Simple. Believe it tonight. It is going on. Now listen, it is easier to believe than disbelieve. Because disbelieving will put you in the great tribulation. Yeah. Believing will put you in the rapture. Believing will put you in perfection and bring the dead out of the ground. They are waiting on us. Are they saying, how long, O Lord, how long? Oh, we've been doing the ones crying, how long, O Lord, how long? Give yourself the glad song. I've got news for you. If you think we have a stomachache, I think they're getting one over us. How long are these people going to stay here and not believe? How long is it that the vindicated prophet's got to be here and they still haven't believed? Well, let's believe tonight. Let's rise. Heavenly Father, we thank you for mercy and grace in Jesus Christ our Lord. We know, Lord, the devil would do his best to rob us, to make us light, foolish, anything else, make us too serious, too sober, as though we had to do something ourselves. But we know the word of God endures forever, and though it would come from the brass doorknob or the mouth of a mule.
We know, and it doesn't. We know whether it comes from servants, earthen vessels, maybe not too much. But you place them here and there and whatsoever. But you have declared by your word, and there was Paul in that day who had to renounce everything he had. A great, great man. Just get right down to the manure heap. Get right down there amongst the rest. And he said, I count it all but dung. I've been sitting on it all my life, and here I'm just a mess. Everything I produced is nothing but a mess. The life is out of it. It stinks to high heaven. I stink with it. But he said, here you pick me up. And this light I'm giving forth in the gospel, command, will shine in the darkness and bring a transformation. And Lord, if there ever was a time when the light shone in the darkness with this age, where people were so miserably blind, they were wretched, naked, and miserable, and didn't even know it. They thought they were luxuriantly clad and full of the Holy Ghost and rich and had everything at their fingertips. It was all gone. Just like you said, and knew not till the flood came and took it all away. Exactly this hour. It's all been indicted. It's all been proclaimed as that which must stand in a court and been found guilty. We know that, Lord. But we know tonight, Lord God in heaven, we know absolutely positively there is a fountain filled with blood flown from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And then, Lord, those full of the Holy Ghost sealed to the day of redemption, and they're crying even now, how long, O Lord, till we come back with priests and kings? We can hardly wait because the seals are ripped off the book and the last messenger has come in. That last one, the Gentile church age. How long? How long? Yes, how long until the people begin to believe? And begin to say, yes, this is right. There's no use not believing because this is what's right. We don't get anywhere without believing. Oh, we're going to get somewhere. Lord, you commanded that light. Command the light again, Lord. We don't ask this as though you hadn't commanded it. But could we ask you, Lord, just as may we hear the voice of your command and stand still. Until, Lord, our thoughts become your thoughts entirely, which in heart they have become already, and they will be perfectly as we just indulge in the message of the prophet. Indulge yourselves, Lord, eating this body word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving fuel, energy, the rich calories, and the transforming dynamism to our very atoms. For Lord, we know it's going to happen. Heavenly Father, bring them out of the grave quickly. We're dragging our feet, I believe. I don't know. But Lord, we want them to come out. We want to be in a position so they can come out. And Lord, we repent of our lack of sobriety, although we do thank you. We know we're getting more serious. And it will take, Lord, quite possibly coming together more often to just be more indulgent toward thee, more gracious, more loving, more kind toward you, that we gather ourselves around that word and talk often one to another. Lord, I pray that husband may talk to wife and wife to husband and children to parents and parents to children and friends to friends and neighbors to neighbors and phone calls, Lord. Just talk that word while that book is being compiled. And you spare us as a man serves, saves his own son that serves him. And we know the difference between righteousness and wickedness. We know those who serve God and don't. We know, Lord, we're a long way down the line there. We believe that with all our hearts, and we're thankful for it. We're very grateful, Lord. Now be with us as we go, Heavenly Father. Grant, my Lord and my God, rest, mercy, and peace upon each one. May the joy of the Lord fill each vessel here. May we get rid of all our cares and our misunderstandings and ideas and forget those things which are past. Looking forward now, because we have no time for arguments and folly and foolishness and church fights and this thing and that thing, the other thing. We do have time to stand up, O God, and declare truth. We sure do have. We have time, Lord, to come against that which is evil, expose that which is dangerous, Lord. But we have time above all, if we only want to use it, to come together, speak often one to another, until the homes, Lord, are redolent with the sweetness of the word of Almighty God. Not with some little speculation, some little thought here and there, but that which is truly pertinent. Reveal thyself more and more, O God. You've been so wonderful in grace and mercy. Tonight, Lord, you know my heart, that if this nothing more ever came, I would just have to say thank you, Lord. It was so good, you were so good to just take us this far anyway, that we could see your grace and your wonder, and it makes us to know, and yet we'd be very jealous, and it would be a letdown, Lord, to think that somebody else was going to get what we had a part of. I certainly hope that and believe that that's not the way it is, because you said he that hath begun a good work will perform it, and you're way down the line here now performing it. We certainly see the truth, Lord, that if you didn't send Elijah the prophet to be all over, we certainly see these things in your word, O God. And it's just wonderful that you've come down with a shout, a command, the military, bringing that bride right together, right in step with your word, which is yourself, the great commander leading on. Oh, God, how precious it is. And we just don't have enough in us anywhere, Lord, in ourselves, to even begin to respond to it and to bring forth that, Lord, which is really neat. But somehow, you're going to have to do that too. And so we just consecrate ourselves to God. Heavenly Father, that you do it. Through the blood of the covenant, through the life coming back on us, and for you coming down, interposing yourself to see that it will be done. Lord, if that isn't grace, I never heard what grace is, and I never expect to know it. If that doesn't wrap it up and do it, if that's not perfection, then, look, I've missed everything anyway, but I know that is perfection. I know that's what it is. And we praise your wonderful holy name. Thank you, Lord, for sending a prophet, but thank you above all for yourself. Thank you for contacting us, knocking at the door of our heart. Thank you for talking with us, supping with us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege. Lord, like Brother Branham said, and I know he said it true, if he should cast me into hell with the spirit I got now, I'd just go there loving him. I don't know if we're that far down the road. Perhaps only a prophet could say that, but we can say tonight we're very grateful, Lord. Very, very grateful, very grateful. We are grateful, and we thank you. As the King, eternal, immortal, and visible, the only wise God, be all power, and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. I believe you've been helped tonight. I just can't believe for 1 minute that we can have a meeting here and the Spirit of God, the Word of God, not bring up people's lives, not do something. I just couldn't believe anything else. I can't turn the clock back to the old days. It isn't worth it. There's nothing worth it anymore. This is it. Now, sure appreciate being here with you. Love you. Bottom of my heart. And so don't forget Sunday then, 1 o'clock. And we don't ask you to bring a lot of things. Just bring some sandwiches and bring a few extra for the Toledo folk, and so that they can have a little lunch before they go home, because we'll be a little late. We will have communion, the foot washing and the Lord's table. And that'd be nice. I know it's a last month, but don't worry about this and that. We might even start taking it twice a month. If it's a good thing to do, every time we come together. Look, Brother Vance Branham family, you do wrong. He said, we got to pray. He never changed it now. He said, you do wrong. He said, we have it once a month. He said, when they came together, they were right there with it. Now, I don't say we're going to do that, but we decided it. Not for some hilarious reason or some little thing that anybody might think, well, hey, aren't we a little different? We are different. So you don't have to prove anything. You know, let's face it. We are different. And that's fine. That took care of that. But I don't mind more times than once a month. I don't mind changing dates and things, but we're just not going to get ourselves in a rut here. No, just be free and easy and stay in a good, sweet spirit before God and be nice to me. And that's the main thing. Be nice to me. And I just may possibly be nice to you once every 6 months. Okay? That a bargain? Yeah. Well, the Lord loves you. Let's sing. We'll walk in the light. Lord,